I'm Dan Cassidy, and this is UBS's Top of the Morning. Today, we reflect on the week that was, including what drove fixed income performance, notable testimonies up on Capitol Hill, and more. Plus, we will preview for you what you can expect in the week ahead. Joining me here on the line for the podcast this morning is Leslie Falconio, Senior Fixed Income Strategist Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So, Leslie, welcome back. Good morning to you, and looking forward to our conversation today.
Thank you, Dan.
So, Leslie, just reflecting back on market activity over the past several days, I know it was a relatively volatile week for U.S. equity markets. Can you bring us up to speed in terms of how fixed income assets have been performing over the past few days?
Sure. I mean, you know, akin to the equity market, but maybe not as strong, fixed income had a very good week. And, you know, what we saw are things, although the equity market was up, you know, maybe a little over 3% this week, fixed income spreads had tightened in tandem, and two things. One is that we had IG corporate spreads tightened about 25 basis points in 3 days, which is the most they tightened in that period since, you know, going back until since, you know, like mid beginning of April. And now we actually have what I call a one handle on the IG corporate index, is that they broke through that sort of range bound trend that we had seen about with going from 220 off to about 198 off in terms of the index. So overall, I mean, spreads and performance had been good. And part of this again is due because of equity. Another part has to do with the fact that we've had a bit of a rally in the oil markets, which have helped. So, you know, fixed income actually has done pretty well this week. And I have to say it's done well on what I consider not such great comments from Powell on 60 Minutes.
Appreciate that asset class performance recap, Leslie. I know a lot of investors have been paying close attention to the reopening efforts, which are beginning to take place across the U.S. You recently put out a blog, Fixed Income Rates, Did You Know, is the title that was released, I believe, on May 19th. Partly within that blog, you talk about how reopening efforts might impact the shape of the yield curve. What can you share with us there?
Sure. I mean, one of the things that I did want to point out is that because, you know, people don't have a tendency to look at, say, like a 30-year Treasury performance because there's so many other indicators to look at, so much other relative value within the marketplace outside of investing in just very simple, run-of-the-mill U.S. Treasuries. But, you know, the 30-year Treasury had outperformed or had a performance of, you know, 60-plus percent over the past 2 years. And, you know, partly of that is obviously because the yield curve has flattened so much. We know that last year it actually went inverted. But, you know, part of what I was trying to really emphasize with that blog is that, number one, we had seen a recent, what we have steepening of the yield curve. And that means that the back end, like the 10 and 30-year Treasury yields are rising. And the reason why that was actually occurring during this time was because the Treasury had issued a 20-year bond. And this is the first time we've seen a 20-year bond since the mid to late 80s. And obviously, given the unknown of what the investor demand would be, the market was offering a concession to that issuance. So we saw 10s and 30-year yields rise a bit and obviously underperform the short end. Now, our expectation was is that it would go fairly well, and right after you'd see a contraction, the 10s and 30-year yields would come down after you cleared the supply out. And that's exactly what we've had occurring. So we've seen this bit of a flattening. But as we move forward, one of the biggest notes is that given the fact that Fed funds rate right now is 0 to 25 basis points, right, the lower and upper bound of the Fed funds rate, what the market is pricing in today is that 5 years from now, they don't expect the Fed to even move the Fed funds rate higher, say, by maybe 2 basis points, if that. So what that means is that the short end is very, very anchored, and the shape of the yield curve is going to be dictated by what happens in the longer end, meaning the 10-year and the 30-year. Now, the reason why the reopening is somewhat important is because if, in fact, it goes better than expectation, meaning that things like GDP will be better than expectation and that growth will be, you know, a bit better than what people are forecasting, that longer end yield will start to rise. And when I say it will start to rise, we're not expecting this taper tantrum type of rising. We're not expecting this material move in 10-year yields. But again, it will be something that the yield curve will steepen because that short end will remain anchored and that longer end will go up. However, if in fact the reopening goes poorly, or there we have another incremental shutdown, later in the year for whatever reason, then people will go back to the safe havens of such things as the U.S. Treasury. The growth forecast will be even worse than what we're currently expecting, or at least the recession may appear to last for a longer period of time than what we're currently anticipating, and yields on those 10s and 30 years will come down, and therefore the curve will flatten. So when we think about the shape of the curve and where to be, it's really the expectation of the reopening and really the expectation of what happens with the longer end, because the short end of the yield curve more than likely will be very anchored for a very long period of time.
I know we're in the very early days of the reopening effort, so we'll have to see how this plays out over time. I do want to revisit for a few moments the notable testimonies we had up on the Hill this week. So we did see that Fed Chair Jerome Powell, as well as Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, they testified before the Senate Banking Committee. Can you walk us through some key highlights and takeaways and maybe provide some context around the premise of those testimonies?
Yeah, I mean, listen, while the Fed's baseline view is for a rebound in, the second half of the economy, but it's not, overly optimistic about some of the growth going forward. And I think that the issue is that when we look at sort of what the potential growth could be in 2021, I think there will be fits and starts. And I think the whole thing from the Fed and what we saw from Powell in 60 Minutes is that people do anticipate a rebound. But the question really becomes is how quickly that unemployment rate drops. And although we are anticipating obviously a drop from what the, currently expected high could be, which could be anywhere from 20 to 25% of the unemployment rate, we do expect a decline. Now, the issue is how quickly does this decline occur? Is there a possibility that it jumps again? Are some of these job losses that we're seeing more permanent than what the market is forecasting? So I think that the Fed is really trying to be a bit aware of the number of variables that really could happen from this reopening. And, some of the things that they talked about, I mean, I know people have, swooned around this negative yield curve policy. And again, they've made it very clear, in my opinion, right now, that it's not something that they would consider. It didn't work very, very well in Japan or Europe, so I don't think it's something that they would consider, and the structure of the United States is much different. But there's also what they call this yield curve control, where, because, right now, we do have this tug of war between the Fed, let me keep interest rates anchored, and Treasury, maybe the Treasury Department, that, wow, we have all this supply that may come to place as the deficit rises. So therefore, supply of treasuries comes into the marketplace, which could push yields higher. So you have that tug of war between the two. And one of the things that is out there, but, just per conversation, but not anything that they have, honed in terms of high probability, is what's called the yield curve control, meaning that they would set rates, they would have rates sort of cap out in terms of rising. And that's a way to try and, in my opinion, mitigate the fact that we want to keep interest rates lower for a period of time to spur some growth, but we also have a lot of treasury supply coming into play. So those are all the topics that are up for discussion. But then I think the most important thing to get out of those, the testimony and even with the 60 Minutes interview, is that they have no problem whatsoever putting in the amount of monetary stimulus they feel necessary. I also think the amount of fiscal stimulus they seem necessary. And although things like the deficit are obviously a concern, it's something they're not concerned about for, way down the road. Because right now it's about keeping companies solvent. Right now it's about keeping the consumer employed. So that's really their main focus right now.
So, Leslie, it doesn't sound like the messaging, especially from Powell, really changed. It was pretty much consistent with what we've been hearing from the central bank as of late, right?
That's correct.
Well, thank you for recapping the testimonies for us, Leslie. Very helpful there. And as we turn our focus to next week, what will be taking place in particular? I know markets will be closed on Monday here in the U.S. in observance of the Memorial Day holiday. But what's taking place next week that you'll be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I mean, there's things, and again, some of these are taken with a grain of salt given where we are, but other things could be way more importantly. And, there's the annualized GDP, the quarter over quarter, the consensus is about negative 4.8 right now. But more importantly, what we have in terms of things like what I consider important, are things like PCE. And the PCE, the personal consumption expenditure, is going to be out on the 29th. And that's also a good indicator to see, you know, with as much as we can, given the fact we have shelter in place, you know, what's happening with consumer, what's happening with, you know, potential inflation indications. And that is, obviously, that's expected to be down about 0.7. And that comes from the prior of negative 0.3. And outside of that, we do have some, you know, sentiment indicators and things and such as that. But a lot of these indicators in terms of what are being produced right now aren't being shrugged off, but it's also, you know, the markets aren't moving tremendously on positive or negative indicators. I mean, even the PMI yesterday came out better than expected, even though it was great. But you're not going to see yields rise on that. It's just a bit too soon. And really, the true information is not going to come out until we lift the shelter in place, so we have the economy trying to run with a little bit more normalcy. And then it'll be just a better indicator going forward of what to expect, not only in the fourth quarter of 2020, but also heading into 2021.
Well, Leslie Falconio, it was great catching up with you this morning. Thank you again for joining us to highlight some key events we witnessed over the past few days, speaking in terms of what drove fixed income performance and highlighting what we can expect in the week ahead. So hope you have an enjoyable weekend, and we will look forward to having you back on again with us soon.
You too, Dan. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Leslie. And again, we have been joined this morning by Senior Fixed Income Strategist Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Leslie Falconio. There are many publications and blogs available for you now up on UBS Online Services. As we mentioned during our conversation, Leslie's blog, which is titled Fixed Income Rates, Did You Know?, is available now up on UBS Online Services. If you are a client of UBS, simply reach out to your financial advisor, and your financial advisor can provide you with a copy of Leslie's blog directly. Top of the Morning will be back again for you on Tuesday morning. From all of us here at UBS, we wish you a safe and enjoyable Memorial Day.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.